The regulation that built the internet may finally be in real trouble. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. The debate over how social media platforms deal with content hit a new peak this week. President Trump signed an executive order to try to limit legal protections for social media platforms that currently exist under Section 230. That's the law that says platforms aren't legally liable for most content posted by others. Now, this particular protection has been under attack for a while, and it is our subject for Quality Assurance, the segment where we take a closer look at a big tech story. Jeff Kossoff is author of a book on Section 230 called The 26 Words That Created the Internet. I asked him what happens if Section 230 goes away.
Well, so we don't know exactly what will happen without Section 230 because the modern internet has existed with Section 230 in place. One possibility, if Section 230 were repealed altogether, is that platforms would really just scale back or entirely eliminate user content on their sites because they just don't want to take the risk. There's another possibility that they might still allow user content, but do absolutely no moderation. We really just don't know how courts would interpret the First Amendment protections without Section 230 because we haven't really seen that applied to social media.
Is some of what we're seeing now a consequence of not modifying Section 230 earlier?
I think really what we're seeing now is, frankly, the result of the platforms playing such an increasingly important role in society. In 1996, there were 40 million people worldwide on the internet. If you were kicked off of Prodigy, it would be inconvenient. You wouldn't like it very much, but it wouldn't be the end of your career, the end of your world. If you're kicked off of one or two social media sites, that could be your livelihood now. As the platforms have grown in importance and also in size, there's been a lot more attention paid to the rules that they set and how they enforce those rules.
So is it fair to say, though, that platforms have taken advantage of this protection?
I think that for the first 20 years of Section 230, it was treated as if it was written in stone. And the platforms developed different practices. It's hard to really paint with a broad brush and even say the platforms, because there are some that are really thoughtful in exercising their moderation techniques and come up with really innovative ways to serve their users while not overly blocking content, while others, for a while, frankly, were not transparent and often turned a blind eye to some real harms that were going on their sites. And they acted basically like, well, we have Section 230 and that will protect us. And that changed, I think, especially most significantly in 2018 when Congress amended Section 230 substantively for the first time in its history to allow a certain amount of liability for sites that facilitate sex trafficking.
What do you think comes next? What might Congress do? Do you think there's a likelihood that this issue will actually be taken up?
I think that there is a very real chance that in the next few years, Section 230 will either be repealed entirely or amended in such a way that it's basically the same effect as a repeal. And Section 230 is a very attractive target because it is seen as this huge privilege for this very large industry that people are upset about.
Like, do you think there will be modifications in between now and, you know, perhaps either, like you said, full repeal or basically that?
I think there might be. I mean, there's still been talk about particular harms that people want to address. But at a certain point, it starts to look like a piece of Swiss cheese. And it's not as meaningful if you have a lot of different carve-outs. So I think there are a number of people who are proposing different larger reforms or frankly, entire repeals of Section 230.
Jeff Kossoff is the author of The 26 Words That Created the Internet. And now for some related links. In case you are wondering how Facebook is thinking about all of this, CEO Mark Zuckerberg made a little media tour this week to say that no internet platform should be, quote, the arbiter of truth. which was interesting because, as several commenters pointed out, Facebook does have its own fact-checking operation. And as Ars Technica pointed out, just 2 weeks ago, Zuckerberg was actually bragging about the site's success at labeling 50 million pieces of misleading content related to COVID-19. Their story also notes that Facebook has, in the last 2 months, actually removed a Trump campaign ad that contained misinformation about the 2020 census and labeled another Trump campaign video as, quote, partly false. But hey, never let a crisis go to waste when you want to paint yourself as the good guy and the business model is on the line, right? On the Twitter side, 10's Will Oremus has a piece looking at the thinking inside Twitter around those labels. A company spokesman told Oremus that they knew that, quote, all hell would break loose. The company probably did not think, however, that the president himself would target a specific employee on Twitter by name and handle who is not a top executive at the company, leading to death threats against that person. Anyway, it's a mess. In some ways, it highlights the nightmare situation that social media platforms are in, but it also highlights how absolutely strange, illogical, and ultimately probably futile it is to ask the CEOs of companies to solve this problem at all. I mean, if I agree with Zuckerberg on one thing, it's this. Why are we asking him or Jack Dorsey to somehow rein in the president if he spreads false, potentially damaging, or even, according to one New York Times opinion piece written by a lawyer, potentially slanderous information? As in, why are we asking the CEOs of public companies to do more than Congress or the American electorate? You gotta admit, that's a little weird. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Jesus Alvarado is our assistant producer. Michael Lipkin is our senior editor. Robin Edgar is our engineer. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.